Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
It's time for us to continue on the noon business lunch. This is John Williams. Neil Fisher is our producer today, and Craig Bolanos, the co-founder and wealth advisor at VestGen Wealth Partners. GetRetiredStayRetired.com is the website, joins us now. Happy holidays, my friend. How are you today, Craig?
Yes, happy holidays. I'm doing just fine. I think I hear those sleigh bells a-jingling, John. I think the Santa Claus rally is going to remain intact at the end of the year, and I'm thanking that strong GDP report for helping to usher it in.
Is this year's version of the Santa Claus rally just not the market dropping off? I mean, it's not like we've seen a real big run-up here, but we didn't have any fall-off, really.
No, we haven't had the fall off, and again, I don't look for that Santa Claus rally to unfold until the last several trading days of the year. So let's see what Friday the 26th, 29th, 30th, and 31st usher in. That's when I'll be paying attention to those last couple trading days of 2025 and the first 2 days of 2026. So I think it's a decent time on low volume for people to put some of those holiday bonuses to work or rebalance those 401ks if they haven't done so.
What motivates the market on the last few trading days? Is it tax purposes or what?
You know, I think it's a combination of this. Number one, it's just sentiment, John. If everybody knows that since 1950 there's a 73% chance of a Santa Claus rally,
really?
There ends up being some portfolio positioning around it. Now, no one's looking for meteoric gains. Maybe we should all just be happy and maybe we should be content, as you alluded to, that it looks like there's no reason for a major market sell-off going into the end of the year. But I think this is a reminder for people just to acknowledge the three-peat we've had, double-digit gains in broad-based U.S. equities in 23, 24, 25. Will we get a four-peat? Well, we'll see.
You mean, will 2026 be as good as 25 was?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, and I think we have a decent recipe. I mean, some of the AI enthusiasm, it's waning. Some of the decisions on whether we're going to get as many rate cuts as we want from the Fed in 2026, they're called into question. But ultimately, if economic growth remains robust and remains stable, that's still the most important ingredient of the three. And right now, it looks like economic growth is exactly that, growing.
Talk me off this ledge then, because I think the elephant in the room is the Supreme Court ruling on tariffs, IEEPA. What do you think of that?
I think that is one of the major elephants in the room, but we've been talking about it ever since Liberation Day earlier this year. I go on record saying tariffs are still here to stay because there's a number of ways for this administration to go ahead and get them in full force and effect, right? Now, what are we talking about, you know, in terms of refunds and all these different things? I don't know. I'm going to let policy administrators sort it out, but if the market thought it was going to be gloom and doom relative to the Supreme Court, you know, SCOTUS, we would be seeing red on my computer screens, not green.
Yeah, right. And regardless of the wisdom of them or the math on them, like, am I paying for this or is China paying for this? The market doesn't seem to be overly concerned with that because those tariffs are in place. We are buying and paying, and there wasn't this catastrophe that some of the people predicted.
No, you know, the catastrophe hasn't materialized. Now, never say never. You know, we're still early into this game, aren't we, John? I mean, I remember the speech from the Rose Garden in April. That was only 8 months ago. So time's going to prove out and history is eventually going to be written. But right now, it doesn't appear to be financial Armageddon the way the bill is being split between consumers, producers, and importers.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see what happens here. The third quarter GDP showed the economy grew at, what was the number, 4.3%?
Yeah, 4.3, and we were thinking 3.2, 3.3 and change. Now, the data is a little bit stale, but you got to be excited about the fact that in the fall, the U.S. economy continued to hum. I think that's good news for everybody.
If it, in fact, did continue to hum. Right? I mean, we're missing 6 weeks of data here, right?
We are. Nothing's perfect, and everyone's going to question the numbers. I understand the reason for questioning the numbers, and certainly the longest government shutdown ever recorded in modern history didn't help anybody with what I call stale data and maybe counting the beans correctly, but at least the trend is our friend, and that's what investors are paying attention to.
And can you talk a little bit about inflation relative to unemployment? I mean, those are two numbers that the Fed watches and we talk about. What are you seeing there?
Well, you know what? When I think about the inflation data, there's a couple of pieces. One, clearly the Fed has moved off of their 2% mandated target. I mean, John, I shouldn't chuckle when I say that, but I think the Fed is so worried about this headline unemployment number, right? I mean, we moved all the way up to 4.6%. The headline unemployment is certainly significantly higher than when Donald Trump took his term here for the second go around. And I just think if this economy continues, there is going to remain some upward pressure on inflation. But if you said to me, am I okay with the year-over-year change in the most recent inflation data? Yeah, I am, because the market's okay with it, and we're running at an okay pace. I mean, PCE at 2.8%, you know, definitely not 2%, but I'll take 2.8% for personal consumption expenditure. That, again, is the Fed's preferred measure of inflation.
PCE, what does that mean? Again?
Personal consumption expenditure.
And what does that relate to? What does that reflect?
It's just the Fed's preferred measure of inflation, right, John? We've got CPI, we've got core, you know, which excludes the volatility of food and energy. And then I guess this just tells me that the Fed continues to pay attention to PCE, because this is an economy that is still based on the consumer. And I do think when we count the scorecard for consumer spending, what I call holiday season, I think it's going to be yet again a gangbuster year. Not maybe as much at the in-person retailer. I got to tell you, Woodfield Mall felt pretty barren on the 22nd of December when I was there last night.
Oh, really?
In the suburbs.
Really?
Oh, it did. It did. And I asked the cashier at a couple of stores I went to, not to name stores, and he said, you know, we seem to be slower year over year, but he goes, that's in person. I got to tell you, based on the volume of return and exchanges, this young gentleman said to me, there's so much business being done online, and then people using that concept of omni-channel to do the exchanges. They order multiple sizes. And I don't know about you, but my neighbor's house is full of corrugated cardboard, as is mine.
Yeah, I haven't been to Oak Brook lately, but friends of mine were going out there. My niece was going out there, and I said, good luck finding a place to park, because our experience has been Oak Brook seems to be on another planet. It's always busy. It's a great mall anyway, and at Christmas time, it's just a zoo. But what I'm also hearing is that a lot of that consumerism, a lot of those retail sales are being driven by the top half of the K, that there are too many people who are not shopping. They don't have the discretionary income. They're not even running it up on their credit cards as much. And the other half of the economy, or whatever the percentage is, they're the ones that are driving this. Do you see that, and what's your thought about that?
Well, I think the data supports it, and you and I have long talked about it on your show. I mean, we have a full-fledged K-shaped economy. You know, some of that kind of disappeared in 23 and 24 because we had a lot of wage growth, what I call growth in the per hour that a lot of blue collar laborers were getting. So it kind of went away. But this thing is deservedly back in the news because a lot of people worry that the wealthiest people aren't going to be able to sustain this. And should the layoffs continue to worsen and that unemployment rise, then you got those middle and lower income Americans. If they pull back sharply on spending, which I don't think is happening, which hasn't happened yet, then all of a sudden, yeah, the bottom of the K could pull down the top. And I don't know how we go ahead and start, you know, closing that divide. It's not even a divide now, John. It's a great chasm. I mean, if you haven't had an opportunity to buy a house, to buy real estate, if you didn't yet have an opportunity to build up your 401k, boy, people missed it. And it's just tough.
We're talking to Craig Bolanos, the co-founder and wealth advisor at Vest Gen Wealth Partners. GetRetiredStayRetired.com is the website. By the way, you and I were talking about the market, and you sounded pretty upbeat about it all. But some of our listeners are saying things like this, Craig, that the market is one thing, but what about the way other people are living their lives? Not everybody is in the market and riding the good wave that 2025 has been. I wonder what we would say to those people who are closer to their money and aren't fully vested the way you were talking.
No, I get it, John. It goes back to what you and I just were talking about, that K-shaped recovery. How else do I explain a great GDP number? How else do I explain a healthy 64,000 jobs created in November? And then today you have five consecutive months now. This is the fifth consecutive month of declining consumer confidence. And I get it. Every time you go to the grocery store, you're reminded. Every time you buy a toy for the holiday season, boy, you're reminded. And we just got to find a way to bridge this chasm on the K-shaped recovery, because I feel it. There's lots of people who aren't wealthy that are really struggling out there. I just don't know what the solution is.
Yeah. Well, affordability is an issue. I don't want to talk politics with you here, but it is also a political consideration. And I saw a chart the other day of how often the administration has used the word affordability in official releases or postings. And in June, July, August, it never comes up. And then in November, the president mocked the notion of affordability as something that the mainstream media has created. He said affordability isn't even a word. And then November to today, they've used the word 78 times. And the president gave last week an address where he talked about the affordability issue. I don't know what my question is now, except that the president obviously recognizes that this is a very mainstream, real issue. It's not economics talk. It's people struggling to pay bills.
That's right, because you can't stay in office and you can't win offices running on facts. It's all about feelings. Emotion is such a driver. It's the emotional dynamics of money. And when we're stuck in this low hire, low fire, although it's obviously more fire economy, I get it. The only thing I'm excited about for some of that 2026 outlook, John, is I do think people are going to have significantly increased year over year tax refunds coming in the spring of 26, courtesy of that increased child tax credit, courtesy of the change to the taxation of tip income, the change to the taxation of overtime income. I think that money's going to be arriving just in time to keep the party going, but none of those words are going to soothe the mom, dad, grandma, grandpas, the American citizens out there who are struggling relative to the same quality of living because of affordability that they had just some 3 to 4 years ago.
I appreciate you bringing that up. Tax returns are expected to be significantly better this coming spring than they have been for a long time for people, in part because while the tax code change, that is the big beautiful bill, was passed, the government continued to take out the previous amount of money they were taking out of your paycheck, and unless you changed it. And therefore, with a more generous plan after the first of the year, people may have been paying more than they realized relative to what they will owe, that tax returns are expected to be bigger this year.
They are. It's not going to help everybody, but I mean, if you're a senior, someone retired who's Medicare eligible, you got that $6,000 bonus. You live in a state with high property taxes. You got the raise in the salt cap. You have tip income tax. You have tip income, overtime income. You have a child 17 or under. All of these things are accretive, and it's going to add up.
I'm out of time. It's always nice to talk to you, and I hope you'll continue to join us. We're here next week. We'll be here next year. It's always good to hear your voice, Craig.
Thanks so much, John. Happy holidays to you and all the listeners at WGN.
You can find Craig Bolanos at GetRetiredStayRetired.com. 1257, news in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom's next.